Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell. Super excited to talk to you today about, is it too late to invest in SDRs? I get this question all the time. Normally, these episodes, I'm going to teach a concept, but I figured this time, I just, a lot of people have been asking me, hey, is it too late to get in the game? You know, have things changed? And so the answer, I mean, my short answer is no, it hasn't. But for some people, yes, it is too late for you. So let's talk about why. So first off, a little bit of background about me. Obviously, you know, I provide data and insights, and I'm all in the short-term rental industry. And if you're listening to this, you probably are too, or at least interested in getting into the short-term rental industry. And so, but you're a little wary of what's going on in the economy, what's taking place with interest rates and housing prices. If you're looking for your first property, to acquire your first property, you know, especially the last couple of years, I'm sure you feel a little bit nervous about getting in. And there has been increased risk getting into this particular type of industry today. And what I kind of want to talk to you about is, look, I'm not a realtor, okay? I'm not a broker. I don't know, somebody who's impacted by the sales of properties in the market. And so I'm not afraid to tell you yes or even no on properties, because for some people getting into this industry, it might not make sense because the industry has changed. It's changed to be more of a business than just, hey, I'm going to throw up a property and get some money on the side. Treat this like a lifestyle investment, meaning a lot of people buy properties that they want to travel to, you know, on vacation, and they don't have to pay for that property. I mean, that sounds like the dream, but that dream is kind of ending, you know, because prices are high. Mm-hmm. The interest rates are high. The expenses have gone up, especially in beach markets. It's like insurance rates are just insane right now. They've tripled in the last year. And so a lot of markets, it doesn't make sense to even approach it like that anymore. That's an antiquated way of investing in short-term real estate. I know that's a little bit of a bold statement because you have a lot of influencers and gurus who are still promoting this idea of buy a short-term rental as a lifestyle asset and let it pay for itself. But if you go visit that property at all and you don't rent it out during some of the peak highs, like even a week during the high season, I mean, you could lose $5,000 to $10,000. And frankly, with the cost of some of these houses, that could be the matter of breaking even or going negative. And so you really can't afford to go visit your own property that you want to visit as a lifestyle. So the market has shifted. It's changed. Now, has it changed for the worst? That's what we're kind of arguing here. But in my opinion, it's become more, the focus has become more of a, this is a business and it needs to be treated as such. It is an investment, yes, but it's an active business, meaning we're managing guests, we're dealing with competition, and we have to be at our A game. 3 years ago, okay, not that long ago, 3 years ago, you'd have to do a lot of this stuff. You have to worry about stuff. I remember it was just kind of like, raise your prices. That was like the motto. Like, your prices are too low, raise your prices. Like, now everyone's like, the people are like, oh, I saw a post on Facebook, my occupancy is low. What do I do? And everyone's like, drop your prices. And I'm like, no, you don't just drop your prices. That's a zero sum game. Okay. If you're saying stuff like that, if that's your only response to when things are down or there's a lot of competition, well, if I just drop my prices, I'll get those bookings. This isn't the right business for you. And it is too late for you to invest in SDRs because that's not how we approach a business, okay? So we want to approach a business in the same sense of, what levers can I pull to get ahead of my competition or get those bookings that I'm looking for? Like, for example, instead of, you know, just dropping your prices, you could have a current short-term rental. You could change your cancellation policy to be a little more flexible. You could change your minimum night stay. You could adjust your fees if you have any additional fees. There's a lot of little things you can do, multiple levers you can pull, and it's all about running a business, an active business. And so if you're in the mindset of, hey, I'm just going to invest in a property, as either a lifestyle investment or purely a tax play. I mean, sure, that makes it look, you know, getting hundreds of thousands of dollars written off just for the tax play is really attractive. But the reality is, if you're not really up for running an active business, it doesn't really make sense. And it probably is too late to get into the industry. And the third thing too, with it too being too late for certain people, are people who think that they can just turn it over to a property manager and, you know, it's going to be passive income. The reality is, you know, a property manager is going to take, or even a co-host, they're going to take minimum 20%, maybe 15 if you're lucky, but 20%. There's some places that 30, 35%. Where on God's green earth is there going to be a good deal that makes sense that you're going to cash flow and the property manager is going to take a cut of 20%? That doesn't exist today. That doesn't work. And so if that's your mindset heading into you know, this, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but it's too late to get into SDRs. And it just might not be the good time. Now, my perspective, if you were to ask me, Kenny, yes or no, is it too late? The answer is going to be no. You know, I believe in short-term rentals because short-term rentals have been around for many, many years. And in fact, if we look at, you know, the first vacation market in the United States, which was Portland, Maine, back in the 1700s, for people trying to get away from New York City, you know, vacation, go sailing and things like that. Vacation rental markets have been around for centuries, okay? And people need places to stay. And it's not just hotels. Hotels weren't a thing back then. And neither were bed and breakfasts. So where do people stay? They stayed at people's houses, okay? Maybe they had boarding houses or things like that. But that's essentially what Airbnb is, right? It's how it kind of started. And now it's morphed into what, you know, today. But the reality is things have changed in the industry, but our approach needs to change as well. And we need to expect things to continue to change. People don't like that though. They don't like this idea that in the future is unknown. We don't have crystal balls. We don't know what to expect. And we assume that things are just going to be like they are today. And we can't do that. That's why when we acquire properties, we can't just buy anywhere. If you're in the approach that I just need to be in a good market, then it's too late for you to invest in STRs. If you're under the impression that, you know, I can trust my realtor and the numbers or trust that property management company or whatever, it's too late for you to invest in STRs. Don't do it. Please don't do it. Okay. So we invest in STRs today, obviously for investing in the wealth, building generational wealth of real estate for the long-term play. But we invest in STRs for the cash flow, okay? And cash flow is dependent on the four revenue drivers of the property: the location of the property, the quality of the property, the design and decor of that property, and the amenities that property offers, okay? Now, making the assumption that adding particular amenities or doing certain things to the property that's not in the right location or not, you know, the best quality or whatever it is going to increase your revenue is a false notation as well. And those people should not. So for example, if I buy a property a mile away from the beach in a beach market, right? I add all the best design decor, I add all these like really cool amenities, and then, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on this property and on the design decor and amenities. Should I expect it to make the same as properties that are on the beach? Even though they might not have those amenities or they might not have the same design decor? No, because people are traveling there for the beach. Therefore, the beach properties are going to have the best revenue. Now, they might be overpriced, but I'm talking about revenue. So if that's the case, then my property doesn't work and is not a long-term play, no matter how cool it looks, no matter what amenities it has, no matter even what the property looks like. It's not in the right location. So every market's different though, and location isn't necessarily the, you know, end all be all in all these different markets. Most of them it is. Like if you're on the lake, you're in a lake market, you're going to want to be on the lake. Okay. If you're in a mountain market, you're most likely going to have mountain views, but that's not always the case. And so in order to know if it's, you know, what's going to do well in the market, we need to understand and study those market revenue drivers. You'll hear me talk about this all the time. Market revenue drivers, the four market revenue drivers: location, quality, furnishings, and amenities. And it's because people are doing that research. They're not taking the time to understand what each of those things are and how they impact revenue in their particular market. And the important thing, though, is that when you know the priority of each one of the four, so let's say that, you know, beach market, obviously location is priority number one, Okay. Then you probably have amenities like a pool or hot tub, or those things can really, really impact revenue in a beach market. Okay. Then you have, then you've got quality and then design and decor, meaning that there's diminishing returns for every dollar you put into each one of these things. And primarily the one that diminishes the most is design decor. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a nice, you know, design property, but if you overspend, it's going to give you less of a return than if you were to overspend in, say, amenities. So when we understand like kind of the priority ranking of each of these categories in each market, we know how to better spend. We know how to better invest. Okay. If you're thinking like this, if you're nodding your head and agreeing with me and you're like, yeah, that makes sense, and that's what I want to do or I aspire to do, then it isn't too late for you to invest in STRs. And you're treating this just like a business, okay? Just like with any business, we have to have a go-to-market strategy, all right? A lot of people have gotten comfortable with the idea of, I'm going to take a listing, I'm going to throw it up on Airbnb or VRBO or booking.com or whatever, and I'm just going to get guests, okay? Because it's in this location and I've seen other people do it, and that's what's going to happen. That's not the right mentality. This is an active business. It's going to get even more competitive. So having the right property, having the properties with what I call a moat, or the thing that separates you from everybody else, is the key to survival, is the key to success. Okay. Survival and success are one in the same. Don't think survival is just breaking even. Survival, especially in our standards here, if you're listening to this podcast, you have high standards, which is great. Okay. We want a cash flow. We want a cash flow a lot. Survival and success are one in the same. Okay. And that all revolves around being in the right location, having the right quality, design, decor, amenities. Now, you don't need to be the best at all four of those, but usually it's like, you know, two or three out of the four that you need to maximize. And so should you invest in STRs today? Yes, you should, with that mentality in mind, that it is an active business. Think of it long-term. Now, the crazy thing is, though, most short-term rental owners today, they only own their properties on average for about 3, maybe 4 years, okay? Now, some want to scale, like they bought smaller properties. And for example, myself, I bought smaller properties, okay? And that what I could afford. And then as I've earned income, I was able to roll that or snowball that into a larger properties. And I sell those smaller ones, get the equity out of them, and scale into the larger ones. Okay. And so understanding that concept of scaling and increasing revenue by scaling is important. And when you roll and grow businesses, so approach this as not I'm doing this as a side hustle. That's really not what this is either. I think that needs to go away. Short-term rentals are no longer a side hustle. We have to be actively involved. Now, people define side hustles as different things. You know, well, it's not a 40-hour work week. I would agree with you. It's not a 40-hour work week, but some people have 80-hour work weeks. I have a good friend, Evan Duplessis. He works in the oil industry. He works 80, 90-hour weeks. That's just insane, right? So 40 hours, he thinks that's a side hustle. So everyone's definition of a side hustle is different, but short-term rentals, although, yes, less hours into each individual property per week than like a normal 9-to-5 job, it's also not earning you the same income as a 9-to-5 job for one property. So keep that in mind. It's actively involved. And so if you're getting into this space and you think that I can just set it and forget it with my pricing, my management, my hospitality, increasing and bettering my property each year, yes, it's too late for you to invest into SERs, and you really should. And so, you know, are there still good deals out there with the interest rates and prices? Absolutely. We're finding them all the time, every single week. Somebody's going under contract with an amazing property. Okay. But they have a plan in place. If you've ever worked with me, if you've ever sent me a property for me to evaluate, before I even look at the numbers, I always ask you, what the heck are you planning on doing with this thing? Because it's not a turnkey property. They never are. The turnkey properties aren't good deals. So if that's the case, then you have to have a plan. Then it's now a business. It's now an active business. All right. Now there's ways to automate it, so you literally don't create a second job for yourself in terms of, you know, messaging and dealing with guests and if there's issues and having a team and all these like great things. But the reality is you got to set that up. And that's part of creating a business. And one of the hardest things about creating a business is this idea of not working in the business 24/7 and growing the business. I even struggle with that myself. And so short-term rentals, we have to approach it. Our mindset has to be, this is an active business that I have to be involved with, but I can create systems and things and automate things, but I have to be constantly trying to innovate and improve it. Because if not, then your only option is to eventually just drop your price. And that's what we don't want to do. So the mindset has shifted. So should you invest in STRs? It's really, should you invest in an STR business? Is it too late to do that? And I mean, if that sounds like you're not willing to do all those things, then yeah, it is too late for you. But for everybody else who wants to put in that effort and reap the same rewards, because you can still reap the same rewards that people had 3 years ago. It's just a little more effort, a little more time. And sure, everyone's pretty busy, but we have that time. It's not that much more time, but we have that time we can put away if you're willing to put in the work and do the research. And so I'll just end on this. Hopefully this wasn't like some negative outlook on the industry and Kenny is doom and gloom. It's not at all. I actually really, really like this industry, but I'm also very realistic about it. And I've come to realize after talking to a lot of people that there are some people who just aren't a good fit. And that's okay, because what we're doing is a business. And if you don't like the business, don't get in the business. So think about that, process that, and remember that as you're researching your properties, researching the markets, whether you already have a property, you want to stand out, or you're looking for that next deal, remember you're looking for a business or treating it like a business. That's how you stay ahead. That's how you survive, or in other words, have success. My name is Kenny Bedwell. And guys, if you could do me a favor, if you're not already doing this, please, please, please follow me on Instagram at Kenny_Bedwell. I have a ton of good content that I've been dropping there. Really good things about amenities and markets and all this cool stuff. Check that out and you will get really good information to help you be successful in the short-term rental industry. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Cashflow Positive. I have a special guest coming on next. We always have a guest, I guess, for the part two episode of someone who is in the industry every single day telling us whether it's too late or not to invest in short-term rentals. I will see you guys on the next episode.